Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 8th day of November, 2018. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And now that the elections are over, the deep state can get back to the business of destroying the country as usual, while the rest of us, increasingly aware of what's going on, are the real hashtag resist. And there's no shortage of news on that front today. The good, the bad, and yes, the continued ugly. But let's start with the good. And on this score, it's about time, but we can understand why he waited. Jeff Sessions has finally, at the president's request, tendered his long overdue resignation. In case you've forgotten, and I can understand why, he was the do-nothing attorney general that's finally done something and gotten out of the way. Here's a Tyler Durden summary of the widely reported news. Sources say Sessions was informed on Wednesday by phone that Trump wanted his resignation. He submitted his resignation letter, whereupon former Chief of Staff Matthew Whitaker took over as acting Attorney General. Hey, there's a concept! And he will assume control of the Mueller probe, according to Bloomberg. Unsurprisingly, given Trump's well-documented ironic aversion to firing people in person, Chief of Staff John Kelly reportedly delivered the news to a somnambulant Sessions in a phone call. And there's concern among the communists, of course, about what's going on with the Mueller probe, because they know darn well who's been involved with the dreaded Ruskies all along. And perhaps they're doubly concerned because acting A.G. Whitaker, I love saying that, a former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Iowa, has publicly stated that the Mueller probe was a witch hunt and that he believes Mueller has violated the law, imagine that, by trying to look into Trump's finances and venturing well beyond the original scope of the so-called investigation. Even worse, so far as the swamp critters are concerned, the man even seems to be able to recognize serious felonies and even treason when he sees them. Back in July 2016, and before the election, Whitaker penned an op-ed piece for USA Today where he argued, forcefully, that Hitlery should be locked up, saying, quote, according to FBI Director James Comey's statement on Tuesday, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton could have been charged with violating several different code sections, and he detailed the evidence that supports bringing criminal charges. Yet, Director Comey's judgment was that, quote, no reasonable prosecutor would bring the case. I disagree, said the man, who says he himself is a reasonable prosecutor, and when the facts and evidence show that a criminal violation has been committed, individuals involved shouldn't dictate whether the case is prosecuted or not. And guess what, folks? I think he's probably, like most of us, learned a whole heck of a lot more about just how criminal these actions were in the time since. Speculation, of course, has been mounting for months that the president intended to fire the do-nothing attorney general. He certainly tweeted his displeasure at Sessions' lack of any actual job performance, especially when it comes to rampant criminality right there in the Department of Justice and the federal bunglers of investigations. So now that that's finally done, speculation immediately turns to the fate of the deputy do-nothing attorney general. Well, I wouldn't say do-nothing with Rod Rosenstein. He's been blocking things pretty effectively. But the White House has confirmed that at least for now, Rosenstein will remain in whatever role he has, like stonewalling for the Mueller probe. All of this falls on the heels of his near resignation, or at least rumored near resignation, back in September after a New York Times story alleging that Rosenstein had tried to corral members of Trump's cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment and remove the duly elected president, and reportedly even suggesting the senior officials surreptitiously record their conversations with the man they've been working so hard to undermine. Something may have changed, of course, after Rosenstein's quite private ride with the president on Air Force One. Informed speculation suggests that just maybe the point was so that the NSA, CIA, and other deep state crocodile operatives couldn't listen in, and perhaps know for sure what leverage the president had on the scumbag. For instance, was he offered some kind of immunity deal for coming clean? No doubt inquiring swamp critter minds would like to know, because things do seem to have changed at any rate. And no doubt, and hopefully, they'll be changing some more during this multiple-month lame duck session, where Congress is doing even less than usual. Oh, there is one more bit of good news on that front. Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio announced his intent to run for the position of House, sadly, Minority Leader on Wednesday. The Freedom Caucus member and Trump supporter said he would be a fighter for conservatives and populist positions in the House. Quote, in 2016, the American people elected Republicans to come here and change this town. I think the president is doing just that, but I don't think they see the same intensity. You got to read this with a grain of salt, of course, because I think he's right. I don't think they see the same intensity from folks in Congress, folks in the House of Representatives. Have we replaced Obamacare yet? Have we secured the border yet? Have we reformed welfare yet? No, he said. And he didn't say it, but I will. Have they drained the swamp? Of course not. But maybe we're seeing the beginnings of some swirling. So on to the bad news. And I'll admit, I had to look at this one hard because most of the candidates for the bad category really fit better in downright ugly. So how about this one? The unconstitutional Fed so-called Open Market Committee, sick, FOMC, will publish its latest rate decision at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, in which they will likely hold the Fed funds rate target between 2 and 2.25%, basically unchanged, meaning that they'll stick the final pin in the economy come December instead. No one, in other words, will be surprised if they delay doing anything dramatic until we get a bit further away from that election. So, on to the ugly, and no shortage of candidates here, but there is one clear winner from right where you'd expect it, in gun-free California, which, as it turns out, isn't as gun-free as the communist, socialist, progressive left would have you believe. Because basically, unless you're talking rich Hollywood leftists, of which there are many, it's mostly the good guys that are now defenseless. So having said that, I'll preface this next story with what I heard in advance, so that you, the listener, can understand it similarly. Paul Preston, the California commentator and activist who's long been involved in the legitimate movement to break away from socialist California and create a 51st state based on the West Virginia model, the actual constitutional one, has repeatedly stated that he is aware of what's going on in the well-funded progressive movement called CalExit that want the entire Socialist People's Republic of the Left Coast to leave the United States. Presumably so Governor Moonbeam can be king instead. Preston has repeatedly made the point that what's going on in California is intended to be a beta test for the rest of America, and that furthermore, if they weren't able to complete their exodus of the United States and become a protectorate of either the UN or maybe Communist China, is that redundant anyway? The criminal drug cartels, terrorists, and gangs associated with that movement would begin to murder white people en masse in public. And, of course, you know it was going to happen in a gun-free killing zone, and perhaps not surprisingly, immediately after the election in which the progressive promised blue wave didn't appear. A man identified as a 28-year-old ex-Marine marched into the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks, Southern California after 11 p.m. last night, dressed all in black, carrying a pistol with a California verboten extended magazine, let off some smoke grenades to confuse the terrified crowds, and proceeded to open fire on the disarmed victims in the almost gun-free killing zone. In what, as you might suspect, turned out to be a really long 3 minutes, especially for those victims who died, police officers finally arrived at the scene 3 minutes later, actually carrying guns, whereupon Long shot one of them multiple times, that officer later perished, before doing what it would seem most good false flag victims know to do, and that's shoot himself. According to the Daily Mail coverage, survivors of the latest gun-free killing zone massacre said the man looked like he knew what he was doing as he repeatedly fired his .45 handgun, evidently switching magazines and reloading at least once. In total, and not counting the dead gunman, 12 people were killed, along with another approximately dozen victims who were injured. As with most incidents like this, and we're getting used to it, especially when they look like false flags, there are a whole lot of things that ought to raise eyebrows among people who can connect the dots. The bar was popular with young people, particularly college students, and even many who were underage, not just for having a gun in gun-free California, but even being able to drink. They had X's marked on their hands. And like the infamous Las Vegas false flag, a number of observers have pointed out this also was a mostly white, country-western-oriented crowd. And as Paul Preston warned in advance, maybe there's a message in there somewhere, and Fox News is reporting that some Las Vegas shooting survivors were evidently inside the Thousand Oaks bar. Witnesses said many were college students from Pepperdine University, California State University, Channel Islands, and California Lutheran University, and some of the survivors of the Las Vegas event were also inside the bar. Chandler Gunn, age 23 of Newbury Park, called a friend who worked at the Borderline Bar and Grill, who was also at Route 91 in Las Vegas, said the Los Angeles Times, quote, "A lot of people in the Route 91 situation go there," said the 23-year-old, referring to last year's mass shooting. "There's people that live a whole lifetime without seeing this, and now there's people that have seen it twice." And let me suggest this again, and I guess again and again, folks. Those who ignore the lessons of history are not only condemned to repeat it if they live in California or any of the other places where this idiotic gun control cancer is allowed to metastasize, and they accept gun-free killing zones as a fact of life, they may end up seeing it until it becomes a fact of death. Albert Einstein was only partly right, folks. Doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and expecting a different result than the obvious isn't merely insanity. It's downright idiotic. Which brings me to the other eyebrow-raising false flag indicator here. This former Marine had been on police radar before. Maybe the FBI had him marked as a you-know-what. In April, said the Daily Mail, deputies were called to his home amid reports of a disturbance. He was reported to be acting irrationally and was irate, so police called in their mental health specialist, who gave him a clean bill of health, and they decided against having him committed. Evidently, they either can't recognize a Manchurian candidate when he's staring them in the face, or, well, I guess the other alternative is even uglier now, isn't it? And finally, we go from the ugly and idiotic to just plain old ignorant. And whether we're talking about California or formerly Great Britain, this at least makes sense. And I'm now quoting from the Daily Mail piece. Police said on Thursday morning that the weapon had been modified by Long to hold more rounds. Quote, "The handgun is designed to hold 10 rounds and one in the chamber. This weapon did have an extended magazine on it." Now, there's a modification for you, folks. You remove one magazine by poking the button, and you pop in a longer magazine in its place. How's that for a dreaded modification of the firearm? By the way, 30-round magazines that extend well out beyond the hand grip are pretty common, but there are other sizes available, too, except in California, where they seem to be prohibited, but that's just to make these stupid sheeple feel safer. Furthermore, Sheriff Jeff Dean said, quote, "We don't know at this time how many the magazine could actually hold, because it's still being processed," unquote. And I wonder, can the sheriff count or not? Now, in fairness, folks, I have no doubt he already knows. It's just that he hasn't been given the official narrative yet, so that he knows what the line is that he's supposed to be pushing. And yeah, everybody who's been paying attention ought to be more than cynical by now. This next story also falls into the ugly category. Not nearly as disgustingly ugly, however, and in a way where not so ugly sad, it might even be ugly funny. From The Hill, the Girl Scouts of the United States of America filed a lawsuit on Tuesday seeking to stop the Boy Scouts of America, SIC, from rebranding its Boy, SIC, Scouts program and referring to its members simply as Scouts. Oh, good grief! So the dumbed-down, transgender, homosexual, soy boy-friendly Boy Scouts, who once were all about helping boys grow into men, but now it's more like metrosexuals, and who now seems to want to welcome everybody but God Almighty into their ranks, has been sued because the Girl Scouts say they're attempting to marginalize the female organization and erode their core brand identity by adopting the Scouts moniker that I guess we could all agree shouldn't really even apply to them anymore. Said the Boy Scouts of America, which intends to change their name to Scouts BSA real soon now, quote, "We just became aware of the lawsuit filed in the Southern District Court of New York, and we are reviewing it carefully. Our decision," they continue, "to expand our program offerings for girls came after years of requests from families who wanted the option of the BSA's character and leadership development programs for their children, boys and girls," unquote. Well, folks, in your host's opinion, and by the way, I was a scout when I was a boy, and that does tend to shape my opinion, as I've watched what's been happening to their leadership, SIC, over a period of years, and none of it for the better, I can truthfully say it's probably a good thing that they're going to change their name. Because one thing's clear, this sure as hell isn't your father's Boy Scouts of America. And that's not only saddening, it's maddening. The next item really is a bit of genuine comic relief. I actually saw this piece yesterday, thought about it, but there was so much real news to talk about with the election, it didn't make the cut. Still, though, today, somehow or other, it seems like a nice change of pace, says Tyler Durden, among a whole bunch of others making the same observation, lost amidst the flurry of post-election headlines was the landslide victory of a Nevada brothel owner, the late Dennis Hoff, self-described Trump from Pahrump, who clinched a seat in the state legislature in a deeply red district despite having died 3 weeks ago. And this one's literally just full of straight lines for comic relief. You know, like Nevada is far enough from California that on a clear day you can still see reality. And therefore, those folks are smart enough to realize even a dead capitalist is a far better representative than a live nutcase socialist. All right, well, we'll skip the details of his untimely demise in October while celebrating his 72nd birthday. Here's the bottom line. His seat will be filled by another Republican who will be chosen during a joint meeting process led by county commissioners. Which brings us, says Tyler Durden, to the practical considerations that help buoy Hoff's bid from beyond the grave. Here's how his campaign manager, Chuck Muth, put it during an interview with The Guardian before the election. Quote, "There are a lot of Republicans who were uncomfortable voting for Dennis because of the nature of his business, you know, prostitution, and now they know that's not the same person who will be serving. Quote, they'll feel much more comfortable casting the ballot for him, knowing there'll be another Republican to replace him, unquote. And as Zerahead summarized the whole thing, yep, talk about a win-win. And we all certainly could have predicted it. Once the midterms were over, the leftist and, yes, racist fake news press removed any remaining pretense of objectivity. Case in point, a racist PBS shill at the president's press conference on Wednesday.
On the campaign trail, you called yourself a nationalist. Some people saw that as emboldening white nationalists.
Whoa. Some people? Well, not any that didn't work for PBS, CNN, or the WAPO, or at least drink their Kool-Aid. But back to her.
On the campaign trail, you called yourself a nationalist. Some people saw that as emboldening white nationalists. Now people are also saying
that the president... It's such a racist question.
There are some people that say that now the Republican Party is seen as supporting white nationalists because of your rhetoric. What do you make of that?
I don't believe it. I don't know. Why do I have my highest poll numbers ever with African Americans? Why do I have among the highest poll numbers with African Americans? I mean, why do I have my highest poll numbers? That's such a racist question. Honestly... I mean, I know you have it written down and you're going to tell me. Let me tell you, it's a racist question.
And here I pause, folks, because, you know, once upon a time, being properly and rightfully dressed down by the President of the United States in front of America ought to have been a sufficient chastening for a genuine reporter with integrity. Clearly, not so here.
And, Mr. President, I
love you know what the word is? I love our country. I do. You have nationalists. You have globalists. I also love the world. And I don't mind helping the world, but we have to straighten out our country first. We have a lot of problems.
And
excuse me, but to say that, what you said, is so insulting to me. It's a very terrible thing that you said.
And Mr. President, people have you talked about middle.
No shame. But wait, there's worse. Maybe the PBS shill learned it from CNN's pompous, self-important, you know what, Jim Acosta. Who's already demonstrated that lack of integrity thing repeatedly and been called out for it publicly, but he just seems to keep getting worse and literally wouldn't shut up at that same press conference to the point where the president asked him repeatedly to let somebody else have a question. He wouldn't do it, whereupon a female White House aide finally went up to him and tried to remove the microphone. And at the very least, the man showed that he was a boor as well. Now, of course, Hollywood isn't about to call out a leftist for the Me Too movement. However, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders was more than willing to. In a statement, she said President Trump believes in a free press and expects and welcomes tough questions of him and his administration. We will, however, never tolerate a reporter placing his hands on a young woman just trying to do her job as a White House intern. She went on to add, this conduct is absolutely unacceptable, and it's also completely disrespectful to the reporter's colleagues not to allow them an opportunity to ask a question. The colleagues, of course, were more interested in hammering the president. But back to Sarah Huckabee Sanders. President Trump, she said, has given the press more access than any president in history. And contrary to CNN's assertions, there is no greater demonstration of the president's support for a free press than the event he held today. Only they would attack the president for not supporting a free press in the midst of him taking 68 questions from 35 different reporters over the course of 1.5 hours, including several from the reporter in question. The fact that CNN is proud of the way their employee behaved is not only disgusting, it's an example of their outrageous disregard for everyone, including young women who work in this administration. And here's the good news, folks. As a result of today's incident, says the statement, the White House is suspending the hard pass of the reporter involved until further notice. And as you might suspect, the petulant little crybaby had a hissy fit. How dare the guy who thinks he was elected president take away the press pass from the great Jim Acosta and CNN? This thing is just so stinking ugly. Let's hear the whole mess.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to challenge you on one of the statements that you made in the tail end of the campaign in the midterms.
Here we go.
That this caravan was an invasion.
As you know, Mr. President,
the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me that.
Why did you characterize it as such?
I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonized immigrants
them? I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process. I want it to be a process, and I want people to come in, and we need the people.
Your campaign.
You know why we need the people, don't you? Because we have hundreds of companies moving in. We need the people.
Right. But your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and
They weren't actors.
They're not going to be doing
that. They weren't actors. Well, no, it's true. Do you think they were actors? They weren't actors. They didn't come from Hollywood. Right. These were people. This was an actual, you know, it happened a few days ago. And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, are you worried? Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation, are you concerned that you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation? Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
I think that's unfair.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat Sarah Huckabee is horrible. And the way you treat other people are horrible. You shouldn't treat people that way. Go ahead.
In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts his
butt. Well, I'm not a big fan of yours either, so
I understand.
To be honest.
So let me ask you a question if I can.
You aren't the best.
Mr. President, you repeatedly, over the course
of... Okay, just sit down, please. Well, when you report fake news, when you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people. Go ahead.
Mr. President, over the course...
And after all of that, we'll start to wrap up with at least one other comment that came from the president the other day. During his announcement after the election, President Trump trashed the way many never-Trump Republicans, says the Gateway Pundit, refused to embrace him and thus lost their races. People like Barbara Comstock, Mia Love, and Peter Roskam all shunned their president and lost on Tuesday. So the GOP swamp critters are having their own hissy fit. You can count on it, said Jim Hoft. But here's the quote from the president that really kind of sums it up. Referring to the election, he said, I don't know if I should be happy or sad, but I feel just fine about it. We had tremendous support from the party. They didn't want the embrace, unquote. Two quick economic notes. West Texas Intermediate crude has tumbled after U.S. production spikes to record high, said a piece this morning. Might even hit $60 a barrel. Good news while it lasts, which may not be for long. And from the world of manipulated precious metals, an ex-trader from J.P. Morgan Chase has admitted to manipulating U.S. precious metals markets for about 7 years and even implicated his bankster supervisors. So, asked Chris Powell, how did that exhaustive investigation of the silver market by the U.S. Commodities Futures Trading Commission miss all of this? I guess in the world of manipulated markets and liars in Congress and the press, nothing should surprise us, folks. it's more and more obvious that there's a whole lot of people in positions of power and authority who don't serve the same God or rule of law as the rest of us. So know who you serve, keep your eyes open, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.